Better skills, better doctors. Join Rebecca Ong and Michael Peluso from TCM Hub as we go beyond the nuts and bolts of clinical practice to navigate some of the more challenging aspects of being a self-employed physician.
Welcome to Better Skills, Better Doctors. We are your hosts, Rebecca Ong
and Michael Peluso.
Before we dive in, be sure to head over to tcm-hub.com and click Hub Community to join a network of your colleagues. There you can get help with your herbal medicine cases and get coached on topics covered in this podcast. Hub Community is only for those who are licensed practitioners of Chinese medicine and students who are enrolled in an accredited Chinese medicine program. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining me on the podcast, Better Skills, Better Doctors. We have a very special episode today. I am interviewing Angela Renzetti. I'll let her introduce herself, but the reason why I wanted to do a very special podcast on this with her is because she paid off all of her student loans. And so I know that's something that a lot of people in this field are certainly struggling with. Struggling with paying them off, downright scared about what, you know, how to pay them off. Lots of people are saying things like, I'm just going to die with my loans. A lot of negativity added, involved in this subject. And so I used to do a thing called Freedom Fridays, where I used to interview people who had paid off their student loans. So it's like a little bit of a freedom. Actually, today is Friday when it just so works funny. Out that today is Friday. So we're doing like bring it back, Freedom Fridays. All right. So I'll let Angela take over here. Angela, tell everybody where you practice and the name of your clinic.
I am in Seattle, Washington, and my clinic is Moonlight Medicine. And when you see me on Instagram and my website, it's Moonlight Medicine Clinic, but mm-hmm. I've been in practice. I'm coming to the end of my seventh year and,
Great. So 7 years in practice and Let's get to the kind of the nitty gritty stuff. How much debt did you pay off?
Okay.
When did you pay it off?
January of 2024. So awesome. It's May now.
Okay.
And I was trying to figure out where I could look this up because I wanted to look it up for myself anyways. And I realized I'd never actually looked. So the full number is $75,432.86.
Sweet. Was that all Chinese medicine school or?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Fantastic. And what amount of time did it take for you to pay that off?
That was interesting also because in 2015, I had just started school a year before. I made a $1,000 payment. I don't really remember doing that, but I could imagine Angela going, maybe I should just start doing this now. I didn't really start paying them off until 2020. So I'd say 4 years.
All right. Wow. And then what made you decide to do this? To just pay them off, start paying them off.
I think it had been in my mind for a few years. So before, if people don't know that Rebecca and I worked together a couple of years ago, and I had met this other woman at a business, like a women's business conference, and listened to her talk. I don't remember when that was. I was trying to figure out. I think I'd been in practice like a year, and she had done the, you know, retire early thing, which I didn't even know was a thing. And her talking to us really stuck with me that I could pay off debt. I remember that kind of planting the seed in my mind. And then just reading some books and kind of hitting some roadblocks along the way that I would just get that, like you're talking about the fear of not knowing what to do or how to do it. So then I just kind of wrote off that I couldn't do it. And then I think I saw your dollars and cents thing somewhere, like in a Facebook group or something. that you were an acupuncturist and you were coaching other acupuncturists how to learn how to budget and take care of finances. And I think that's when I contacted you because I thought it was just the financial piece that I needed to work on. So after I'd been in practice a couple of years, I was like, at some point, I'm going to be able to do this. I had some huge financial jumps. Like I think the first year or two I was in practice, I think I didn't even make $30,000. And so I was like, there's no way I can do this. You know, people say, oh, you can put $20 a month away and invest or something. Like that doesn't really work. I mean, I guess it can, but so I think at some point I just decided that I wanted to do it, and wanted to figure out how I could do it.
Great. Okay. So you just decided. Yeah. And that's
I
really where it comes, right? I know people, it sounds so simple and people get a little mad when,
know.
when you kind of say like, well, you just got to decide, right? Because once you decide what you want, then you next step is like, okay, that's the result I want. How do I get that? And then now you figure out a plan to get there, right? So, in this time, so it took how long did it take again? About
Probably 4 years. Yeah, 4 or 5 years.
four. Okay, so it took you 4 years to pay off 75,000
Yeah.
ish. Great. What was your income during this time?
So, yeah, those first couple. So, this is 2020. That was the other thing, too. I think that if people, when people listen to this, think about in 2020, we had that pause in the interest. And I think at that time, I was really, I saw how much interest had accrued. About 5,000 had accrued at that point. And that was like just a couple years. And it freaked me out. And I remember we had the pause on the student loans at that time, or they paused the student loans, they paused the interest growing. And I kind of talked to a couple friends about it. And I was like, are you going to do anything about this? And they were like, no, I think we're just, it's that conversation. Like, I can't remember how many friends said, I'm going to die with my loans. And I was like, this is interesting. And then a few m more months went by in 2020, and things, like, as we all know, just kind of kept going. So I was like, I wonder how long this is going to go for. And I wonder if I can actually do anything about it. But 2020 and 2021, there were months that I was seeing like 10 patients a week. So I think I made about 40,000 or something in 2020. And then 2021, I think I was at 70. And then I went up to about like 90. So my practice just kept growing through COVID. And yeah, now it's pretty steady. So I think that's an interesting takeaway because in a lot of financial books that I read too, people don't really talk about self-employment. They are always talking about their corporate jobs. Oh, I'm making $100,000. Well, I was like making 40,000 thinking, cool, I don't make that much. I can't just as a self-employed person decide I'm going to work more, you know? It's like my hours are open and people are coming or they're not coming. So I think that's an interesting takeaway for people too, that if you don't think you're making enough money to pay off debt, you still probably can, you know?
Yeah. Actually, I mean, and here's the thing, actually, I'll actually disagree with you very respectfully here. Actually, if you are self-employed, you actually have a greater capacity to make more money. You're not, you're not confined to what your employer has decided is going to just be what you make, right? So it's like you could, if you wanted to, you could work 7 days a week. You could, I'm not saying that you should do that. I'm just saying if you wanted to ramp it up, you have these options. You have lots of options. You could also, whether you're employed or self-employed, you can do a side hustle. You can do, so there's like a lot of opportunity here. But as a self-employed person, actually, we have actually a greater capacity and potential to make as much as we want. So it's actually a little bit of a different reframing
I love it when you reframe things for me. I swear, I'm like, I could just rave about working with you. You've helped me in many ways.
Oh, well, that's excellent to hear. So, how about like in this time, was there, like what kept you on track? Like, what was your motivating factor?
I've done this a few times in my life where I've decided to do something and then I just kind of keep doing it. Just keep going. Your financial workbooks helped a lot. And I don't think I ever did budget down to the dollar. So your Excel spreadsheets that I got through dollars and cents, I would never be like, all right, I have $132.40 to spend on whatever. But it was like the broad idea, and I kind of liked that a little bit better anyways because it gave me some wiggle room. But that did help me stay on track. And then something that you helped me with a lot was just looking at the reality of the situation of like how much money I was making. Like I remember writing down all my expenses and how much money I was making and being like, I don't have enough money to pay off my debts. Cause I also had credit card debt. I will say that to other folks too, that on top of the student loans, I had a tendency to, and it's something I'm still working on, this kind of yo-yo with credit card debt. So like I'd have like $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 on my credit card, and then I would pay that off and then I'd keep going. But to sit down and actually look at numbers and facts and make sure that I kept doing that because I'm a really emotional person and really sensitive. So I'd just be like, ah, getting in my head about it. And then be like, oh, I actually do have the money. Move that over here. So that did help me. I think the emotional work that we did around money too helped me a lot to stay on track because I would have these like money dates with myself just once a month. It was usually at the beginning of the month to kind of budget for the month and figure all that out. That helped me a lot.
Awesome. Yeah. So did you have any, let's say, like kind of going back before you made this decision to pay off? Like what were you like, how would you describe your attitude? You said a little, you kind of keyed into it a little bit at the beginning, but what was
Yes.
like kind of your attitude toward or regarding your debt before you decided to just pay it off?
I think money in general gave me a lot of anxiety. Having conversations about money gave me a lot of anxiety. I remember the first financial book that I read was Broke Millennial. Have you heard of that book? I can't remember the author, but I remember just reading a couple chapters and being like, God, I'm putting it down. And then maybe like a month later, going back and then trying to read another chapter because I was working really hard at that time. I think I was working 6 days a week, and I did that for a long time. And I was at the clinic 3 days, and then I was working at an herb shop a few days. I wanted to avoid it. And I think growing up, I kind of had that money. That's my money story, is that we didn't really talk about it. My mom would always tell me to save, but I never really learned what does that mean. Do I put in a savings account? I didn't really know what investing meant.
Yeah. No, one of the reasons why I actually love like the topic of money is one of my favorites, is because I find it's just the fact that it's the like kind of one thing that we actually all have in common with each other because we all have to use it. We're all like what it comes into our life. We touch it at some point every single day, whether we're, you know, earning it or spending it or saving it or charging it. You know what I mean? So we are all touching money in some case. So that is one thing that actually has us all connected and on the same like kind of the same playing field, if you will. But we all have very different attitudes towards it, different philosophies, all kinds of stories and whatnot, and emotions around it. So that's why I always, but money is just neutral, right? Money's just money. And we can have that choice of how we want to think about it, right? And the way that, and you know, the work that we've done together, your thoughts create your results. So if you have a really bad or negative mindset regarding this neutral thing of money, then you're probably not going to have a very positive result out of it. So yeah. Okay. And then now, how is life different for you, if anything?
I've been in, like, I wouldn't say like a little bit of a shock like the last few months, but well, something happened in January. I decided to like put like one last push towards the loans to just to get them done. I was like, oh, I'm done. And then I was a couple thousand short on my taxes. So then I thought I was gonna have all this extra money. I was like, woo, go on a trip or do something. And then I've been paying those off, and I actually don't know. I feel like there's been a huge weight lifted. My partner and I like we made a special, we like went out and had a really nice dinner. I was like, I really want to celebrate this. And talk about it. And I've been talking to a bunch of my friends about it. And, I feel really empowered to talk about it now because there's been so many things like this in my life where it's like going to the gym. Like I started going to the gym last summer and I was like, I don't know what any of these machines do. This is totally scary. And I was like, I'm just gonna keep trying because you know that person that's, ripped next to you, that didn't just happen overnight, right? I mean, finances are the same. I think that's really taught me that you can teach yourself a lot of things and change your mindset about a lot of things. So I feel like my mindset has just changed so much. I feel really empowered in a lot of other areas of my life too. Actually, I think that's probably why I started lifting weights because this is like another story, but I started lifting weights last year because I think because of this financial thing. I know that sounds strange, but it's like you think you could never do something and then you just go do it.
I understand that completely. I understand that completely. Because I don't know, not a, we have some new listeners and people who don't actually know me and haven't taken my class, but I paid off all of my debt and it was a combined income and a combined debt when I was married, but it was $142,000. And when that it was actually just very like as soon as we put together that household budget or spending plan, and we were just making it work, I was just like, whoa, like we have a lot of power over how things end up in our lives. It was just this very simple kind of when you lay it all out in front of you and you just kind of see that like you're not as bad off as you think, or if you are, kind of, things could be a lot better, you're still going to be okay. And one takeaway for me is that like the more I take care of my money, the more my money takes care of me. And so, it's the not getting falling into like, credit card debt or unknown like surprise expenses, things like that. So those tend to not really happen so much anymore. And
I think
when,
it takes time too. Like we worked together in 2022, I think, or and I mean it was a, like the whole paying it off, there was definitely times that it was like emotional. Like there, I got myself into credit card debt again, and then I felt like I was failing and I'm never gonna pay them off. And then it was kind of like I was back to square one. And then we would have sessions together and I would work on just looking at the numbers, as you were saying, it's like money is just, it's like an object and it's a thing. And I'm attaching all this emotion to it when I don't need to be. So that stuff was, it's like saying you just go do it. Well, yeah, I decided to go do it, but then, this is what the emotional cycle of it looks like, over the years of, being trying to figure out how to manage my emotions around that too, and then having conversations with people about it. And that's been interesting too. It's like getting tattoos. Like you don't really think, oh, I'm gonna get tattoos, it's all for me. But then people are like, whoa, look at your tattoo. And you're like, whoa, I wasn't ready to talk about that. I can see the deepest, darkest meanings of my life, but it happens. So, and I'm, you even talking about you paying off your debt. I remember when we met and I knew that about you, I was like, oh, another woman that can do this, that's a business owner. And it's not the story of we're acupuncturists and we're always gonna, not be making very much money. That story, I think also, it still makes me sad when I hear that from other people. Like, I can't do it. Or I can't have a business and make money and help people. I don't know.
No, I mean, you're absolutely correct. It's a scary endeavor, because it does require change. And yeah. And so eventually people will get to it, but it's, and that's something that I had to learn. It's like, God, this is so easy. Just, it's just math. And I saw over, I was like, no, apparently it's not just math. It's certainly, there's a lot more to it. There's, as Dave Ramsey said, it's 20% math and 80% head, right? So, but yeah. So that's well, I'm so glad that well, one, that you achieve this, and two, that you were willing to share it. And I think this is going to be like a really inspiring story for a lot of people, I hope. Because, again, like you're just you're I like and I mean this with all the love in the world, you're just like a regular person. You know what I mean? Like you're not like you don't have some huge interdisciplinary clinic. You work by yourself, right? Like I don't remember, do you have any staff or anything like that right now, or is it
I
just
don't.
you?
I guess that's good for people to know too. Like, so I have a partner, but we don't live together. And I have a little clinic with two rooms. And that's another, I'll say something about that too, if that's okay.
Of
I
course.
think I've been approached by other acupuncturists. They're like, two rooms, that's the way to get rich. And I'm like, I see maybe 20 to 30 people a week. And there's like huge gaps in my schedule. I could probably see like 40 to 50. I don't. I mean, it just doesn't happen. But it's like, yeah, I'm technically single. I like have a roommate right now. I've kept my overhead. My office is really cute, but I've also kind of kept some of my overhead costs a bit lower. Yeah, I don't have any employees. I did my own billing forever. I just got a biller a couple of years ago. So I don't have any in-house employees, but I do have a biller and someone that helps with my books. I'm looking to get some other things outsourced, but that you helped me with that too, just understanding like where my energy was going and things like that. I'm a regular person.
Regular person. Awesome. Well, and that's why I wanted to interview you as well, because, well, not only just to celebrate it, but to show that it's like, yeah, you're just kind of like doing the thing like everybody else, right?
You
Fantastic.
can do it and you can ask for help. I think having conversations with people, that's kind of how it started. Like I listened to a talk, I had some conversations with people, I talked to people in Facebook groups, and then I found your material and then we worked together. And I mean, even that was big. I felt like that was vulnerable to ask somebody else for help and just be like, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. But you did it, so.
I mean, and that's the thing. It's like I say this to, I know you have to go, but I say this to people all the time. By the time they've called me, it's like, great. It's like you've gotten yourself to a place on your own. You've gotten you as far as you can on your own, and now you could use a little extra help, new perspective, different tools, that kind of thing. And that's all part of the growth process. So, but kind of spinning around and like, I'll just figure it out, usually doesn't end up in you figuring it out. So asking for help is one of those things that it's part of growth, So, well, Angela, congratulations.
Thank
$75,000. Starting at around like 30,000 and working yourself up to about 75. So, or was it more? It was 80, 80 in the time that you were paying that off. So, not even like having to like, if you have 75, it means I have to make 150. No, that's not how that works. It's just consistency and the decision to do it and follow through. So, congratulations. So
Thank you.
awesome. And it was really great to talk to you as well.
Yeah.
And thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your help too.
Yeah, of course. It's my pleasure. My absolute pleasure. So, all right. Thank you so much. And thanks everyone for listening. That's all we have for today. And we'll talk to you next time.
If you're currently in repayment or deferment of your student loans, you're in IDR or another repayment program, you do not have any plan in place for repayment other than just paying what you can and crossing your fingers, or if you are convinced that you will just die with your student loan debt, I really encourage you to reach out to Student Loan Planner. When you work with Student Loan Planner, you get the actual facts of your student loan situation and will be put on a plan that is affordable and reasonable. And you will know exactly how much more time you have until you qualify for forgiveness. You will likely be surprised by what you learn and that things aren't as bad as they seem. The cost is $5.95, but with the link in the show notes, you will receive $100 off. And I know many of you are thinking right now that's just too costly and that you're just going to figure it out on your own. This is the same as your patient saying that they'll just figure out their own health issues instead of investing money to be evaluated and treated by you, the expert. Having the stress of the unknown about your student loans hanging around in the background every day is affecting your health and your ability to focus fully on your practice and therefore your patients. $500 is a small price to pay for getting the correct facts about your student loan situation so that you can move forward in the best way for you. This can potentially save you thousands of dollars down the line and give you peace of mind today. I put the link to set up a consult with them in the show notes. If you use our link, you'll save $100 off the consult fee. So be sure to use our link if you want to receive that benefit. If you got to this episode from an email you received, I also put that link to Student Loan Pointer in that email as well. All right. If you need help with getting unstuck, getting out of your own way, or feeling dissatisfied in any way and wanting to step into the next version of yourself and your business, then life and performance coaching may be exactly what you need. Head over to tcm-hub.com/livingpractice or click Living Practice at the top of the page. There, you can read more about coaching for self-employed Chinese medicine physicians and schedule an introductory chat with me. If you found this episode valuable, please share with a friend. And if you could be so kind as to take a moment to leave a written review in your Apple Podcast app or rate us on Spotify, we would really appreciate it. Thanks for listening and for considering new perspectives. Talk to you next time. Bye. Rebecca Ong is a certified professional life coach for Chinese medicine physicians. She is not a certified financial planner, financial advisor, or accountant. Life coaching is not a substitute for therapy, medicine, or medical treatment. Anything discussed in this podcast is for general education and entertainment purposes only.